a record low number of Russians turn out to vote in legislative elections, and a report suggests that the old KGB may be on the way back. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
So the same four parties will be represented in the new State Duma: United Russia, the Communists, Vladimir Zhirinovsky's LDPR, and A Just Russia. United Russia appears to have gotten a constitutional majority. But these parties were elected with a record low turnout, just under 48%, according to the most recent figures. So for the first time, they will be representing less than half of Russian voters. For comparison's sake, the average turnout in Russia's past six state Duma elections was over 60%. That was my main takeaway, the low turnout. This is going to be a Duma of the minority. Well, what was your main takeaway, Steve?
Well, yeah, I think there are two. One being that it's a huge win just in terms of the number of seats for United Russia. I think I saw TASS was reporting that it was projecting more than 340 seats for United Russia this morning. So obviously that is a constitutional majority, a very comfortable one, and gives Putin even more pliable parliament as he goes into the elections in the presidential election in 2018 and figures out what to do about a succession or way to stay in power. And also it tries to determine how to head off any problems, any protests over the economy and other issues. So, you know, that's just on the face of it in terms of seats, a big win for United Russia. The turnout obviously undermines that, and it means that he's going into the future with a parliament that's in his control, but also is in a way legitimate. I mean, I'm not legally, obviously.
You can make the argument that
in other words,
legitimacy.
I mean, its legitimacy could be questioned by anyone, and you know, obviously, the people who didn't vote are maybe inclined to, you know, see it as illegitimate or to at least place a little trust in it. So I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword for Putin because he has this parliament that he controls, but it's obvious that, you know, that the turnout was low and that...
And the usual falsification was there.
Right. And you have, I mean, it doesn't address the result doesn't address several of the problems that these elections were meant to, in a way. I mean, it was supposed to be a very clean election. There are plenty of falsifications being reported. And it was also supposed to address the concerns, you know, raised by the 2011 protests about just democracy and representation in general.
And it's not done any of that.
Right. I mean, you see, okay, so opposition figures had a chance to potentially get in via the single mandate voting. The way this was done with deliberately low turnout, according to many observers, it ends up with people, especially in the big cities where turnout was very low, Moscow and St. Petersburg,
16%,
having again no representation or not feeling that they have a voice in Russian politics. So that, you know, could bode ill for the future for the government.
Well, there's another reason I think the low turnout was significant, because as you noted, it was by design, largely moving the elections forward to September when people are still at their dachas. This election didn't get the attention previous elections got. The campaign season was shorter. What they seemed to want was a boring election, and that to me signals something important, because in the past they played up the turnout as something that legitimizes the regime. This is, we've said over and over again, these elections are legitimization rituals. And what you got this time is a very low turnout. It seems to me they're moving away from electoral authoritarianism, of using elections to legitimize the regime, and into plain old authoritarianism. It seems that the elections are something they got to get through now, but they don't seem to be their main vehicle for legitimizing themselves. And that's foreboding in a lot of ways.
Right. I mean, I think if you look at it that way, I agree. I mean, this election, it turns out it was more of kind of a pragmatic, for Putin, more of pragmatic look, not like, okay, let's go back or let's go closer to democracy, but let's get the result we need. And as you say, you know, it could be that this means that they'll be moving away from elections as sort of the main kind of legitimizer, I guess, and of course with the presidential election coming up and the question of succession, you know, that presumably Putin wants to leave his options open in terms of what way to move.
Yeah, no, and it's significant if you look at those turnout figures. Turnout in prisons was very high, 83%. Turnout at military bases was very high. Turnout in psychiatric hospitals, as Hodorkovsky tweeted yesterday, it was very high. So that turnout, the real turnout, was even lower.
Right.
It was even lower. I mean, I'm seeing figures floating around 30% in Moscow and floating around just below 20% in St. Petersburg, which is stunning, actually. The two main cities in the country turned out in low numbers that.
Another interesting thing about the different turnouts is, you know, again, and maybe more than before, Putin's relying on turnout in places like Chechnya,
where it was 76%.
It's actually, I guess, lower than usual. But it still means, you know, he's relying on these places where it's easier for the authorities to get a big turnout. So, you know, is that real representation?
No, it's not. Again, I think we're moving away from electoral authoritarianism to the real article, actually. And I think that's very foreboding. And that's related to another story I wanted to discuss. There's a report today in the daily newspaper Kommersant citing official sources, unidentified official sources, is saying that there are plans on the table to create a new Ministry of State Security, the MGB, on the basis of the FSB. That would essentially absorb Russia's main security and intelligence agencies. It would absorb the SVR, the Foreign Intelligence Service, and the Federal Protection Service. It would also supervise investigations of the Investigative Committee and the Interior Ministry, and according to the report, have procedural supervision over them. Now, at first glance, and this is, I'm not the first one to notice this, it was right in the headline in Kommersant, it looks like a resurrection of the KGB in a lot of ways. It looks like Putin's creating this super ministry of state security. And, you know, there's a lot of reports about things like this, but this data point fits in a whole series of things that we've seen. We had the reorganization of the security services over the summer. We've had the FSB's assault on the investigative committee, resulting in a number of arrests. We've also seen Putin kind of removing key Siloviki from the Kremlin inner circle, like Sergei and Viktor Ivanov and Vladimir Yakunin. And now at the same time, we're creating this big super ministry that God knows who's going to head it. I mean, when you put the kind of the Ivanov being removed in the context of this, I would think Putin would truly fear a heavyweight like Sergei Ivanov running
right,
a ministry this powerful. But this is what do you make of this?
Maybe he'll appoint himself. It does certainly fits in with these elections, whether that's a coincidence or not. But in terms of, you know, an effort, move to kind of tighten control and tighten control ahead of the presidential election.
This thing's supposed to be created
before the president. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it just seems like circling his wagons and tightening, consolidating power, tightening control ahead of the election and this kind of succession issue. And I think, it is a good question of who would head it. Putin's circle is said to be, you know, shrinking.
And the obvious choices are not in the circle anymore, right? If you're thinking of the Ivanovs or Yakunin, yeah. Who would head?
Well, there's Patrushev.
There's Patrushev. There's Zolotov.
Right.
If you're thinking of that would really send a strong signal with Zolotov heading both the National Guard. We don't even know if this is going to be created.
Well, right, that's
yet.
True.
But it just smells right. Sometimes these stories come out and they smell right. The data point fits the patterns that we've been seeing, and that's the case here. This is also a break from the way Putin's resisted this effort to recreate the KGB. There've been people have wanted this within the FSB particularly. It's something Putin's resisted because until now, he's preferred to kind of play balancer among the different security agencies.
Right.
He thought that maximized his power. And he's moving away from that to creating the super ministry. And it's similar to the way he's treating his inner circle, where he used to kind of like to balance the interests of the different clans. Now, in moving old cronies out of his inner circle, he's moving away from that model of governance as well. This is going toward one-man rule is what it's looking like.
Right. And then he'll have, as he moves younger people in, sort of one-man rule with a young generation of people who are not potential rivals, at least in the medium term, in any way.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think the fact that this story came out the day after the election is any coincidence or accident at all. I think this came out for a reason the day after the election. And I think these two things fit together.
Yeah.
I mean, the creation of this super ministry is Putin consolidating power and maximizing his power. And the low turnout in the Duma elections with the supermajority for United Russia, again, moving away from electoral authoritarianism toward the real article, and at the same time being able to change the Constitution at will now. So I think we're headed for some very, very interesting times in the coming couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, these were supposed to be really kind of boring elections, and they're turning out not that boring.
No, the campaign was boring, but the result is not boring. It looks like we're in for some very interesting times.
Raising a lot of questions, yeah.
So that's all we have time for today. I'd like to remind you, you have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me here in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.